Well, here we are again. Another video sermon. Because you guessed it, I have the COVID. Again. Again. This is like fourth or fifth time confirmed. I have no idea how many times I've had it unconfirmed. So it likes me, I guess. The COVID virus likes me. So I guess on days when I'm struggling with self-esteem, I can just remember, you know, well, at least the COVID virus likes you. So I don't know. My wife said, she said, you are a COVID magnet. So it likes me. So all the other times I've had COVID, I had the muscle soreness, the joint aches, the headache, the sore throat, the sinuses, coughing, sneezing, all of that. But thankfully, never the GI portion of COVID. This time might be different. I think I might have all the symptoms. So if there's any abrupt cuts in the video this morning, I'm sorry. So when I called Ryan with the news, that I had COVID, I asked if we could do a video sermon today because I am super excited to be able to talk with you guys on these two Sundays about ministry. Ooh. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I just realized all of a sudden that I might need a cough drop to get through the message today, or a bottle of water might be necessary sometime during the sermon. So joking aside, three Sundays from today. So today, another Sunday in October. So 22nd, 29th, November 5th, and November 12th. So on November 12th, we have our annual church Thanksgiving potluck, and it is. Boy, it's hard to believe that 2023 is winding down already. November is right around the corner. We'll be in 2024 before we know it. So in addition to the Thanksgiving church potluck that day, we have something special planned. We have a ministry fair also happening on the 12th. So before you go downstairs for the Thanksgiving dinner, we ask that you make a pass through the multipurpose room. We're going to have tables set up there in the multipurpose room with a lot of our ministries laid out. And with the availability to be able to sign up for all of our ministries. The sign-ups are for ministries that currently exist that could just use some more people power. That can always help to have more involvement. Some of the sign-ups are ministries that you guys thought of. If you remember, back before COVID, it's kind of ironic today to say before COVID, but before COVID, we had a dream event downstairs in the fellowship hall where we all sat around tables and we just had a brainstorm of different ministries that would be beneficial to our community. And so you came up with a lot of ministry ideas. And so some of the ministries that will be at the ministry fair came from that event that you guys thought up. And so then the third category ministries that will be on the tables on the 12th will be ministries that used to exist and they were good ministries and we believe that they would still be effective today, but for one reason or another, they're not currently active. And so we would like to see those ministries make a comeback. And so those ministries will be down there. So on the 12th for our Thanksgiving dinner, before you go downstairs after the service, just go on down the hall, walk around the multipurpose room, and we encourage you to sign up for at least one, if not a few of those ministries. Now, if you're already serving, and I know there are a number of you that serve in various areas in the church, then as you walk around the room, go on and sign your name to the ministries that you already serve on, because that'll be encouraging just to see lists of people that are serving, both those who currently serve and people who want to join up. And so that will be encouraging. It'll also be encouraging for those that are really kind of going back and forth. You writing your name down might be all they need to give them the courage to write their name down and to step out of their comfort zone and to step up and to sign up, to step out and to sign up. And so we don't want you to overcommit, that's for sure, but we definitely want everyone to be at least signed up for one thing. We would love to see this church be at 100% involvement, 100% ministry participation, and we want to see that event to be super, super successful. So I suggested that we should have tickets available up at the ministry fair for the Thanksgiving meal. And so that the only way that you could eat at the Thanksgiving meal is if you went around the ministry fair and you signed up for one event, then you could get a ticket and you could go down and eat the food that you brought for the potluck. So that's, don't worry, that's not the case. That was, of course, another joke. But seriously, we do want to see our whole church family engaged in ministry. In one of our leadership meetings, when we were brainstorming on the subject of ministry and involvement and being engaged in ministry as a church, we were trying to think of what obstacles kept the whole church from being involved in ministry. What were some things that stood in the way of people volunteering for ministries here at our church? And it's not just our church. This situation is unfortunately very common. And not just in churches either. Lately, I've been listening to an incredible speaker that knows her stuff about social work and caring for people. I've been learning a lot of things as I've been listening to these different sessions. And these sessions that I'm listening to were recorded 11 years ago, so 2012. And even then, she had noticed in her research and her studying that we are a society of people that live disengaged. And so that was way before the COVID shutdown of 2020. And as a researcher, she noticed then, 11 years ago, that we were disengaged as a society, as a culture of people. And I wonder how much more disengaged we are now after all the things that have happened with COVID and just all the craziness, how our world has turned upside down. So it's not just our church. It's not just the church. It's basically people in our culture in this time in history. And we can't solve the issue of disengaged people all across the world, but we want to do something about it here. We want to see what we can do about it here. And so as a leadership, we were brainstorming about what might keep people away from ministry, what might keep people from engaging in ministry. Because it's imperative for our mission as a church to have everyone involved. We cannot mature as a church, as a whole church. We cannot grow in God as a church if we are not involved in ministry together. We can't invest in people as a church together collectively, all of us as a church, if we aren't sharing in ministry together. And so this is a worthwhile topic to wrestle with. So one of the questions that I asked the group that night was that as we were trying to identify these obstacles, I asked, do you think maybe it's the word ministry, just the word ministry, that intimidates people? I mean, does that word scare people off? Do we need to call it something else? I mean, as Juliet would say, what's in a name? That which we call a rose. Any other name would smell as sweet. So a rose is a rose no matter what you call it, right? If we're active in church ministry, or if we're active in ministry as a church, if we're engaged as a church in ministry, I mean, that's the important part. The important part's not what we call it. So if calling it something different allows people to engage, if it's the name that intimidates people, then would a simple shift in word association make a difference? So we tossed that thought around along with a number of other thoughts around that subject that night. And even though it was my question, the more I thought about it, the more the thought of the word ministry not being connected to ministries felt wrong somehow. But I didn't quite know why it felt wrong. You know, and maybe since I'm nearing a half a century old, maybe I'm starting to get a little bit of that, you know, old-fashionedness to me. I don't know. But the subject that night was handed to me to continue to wrestle with and to bring some thoughts into the sermons preceding the ministry fair on November 12th. So I've got today, and I've got October 29th. Then we've got something really special. On November 5th, we have Solonique coming, and he's going to be sharing on this subject as well. And then on November 12th, the day of the meal, we have Larry Carter coming in to share with us as well. And he is connected to, not cast. Bethlehem, living water. And so we've really got a nice 4 Sundays lined up. And so we're all going to be sharing on this topic. So I continued to wrestle with this thought on ministry, as well as a handful of other things connected with getting all of the church involved in ministry and what are the obstacles there. And so I took this question to the preaching team a week later, and we all wrestled with it around our round table. And I think I found out why calling it something different just didn't sit well with me, because as we talked, ministry is something special. I mean, the word is special because ministry is something that belongs to the church. God gave ministry to the church, and it came from an ordinary word, and we'll talk about the word next week, but God brought a bigger meaning, and ministry is not known for the common definition that it was known for back in Jesus' time, but ministry is known for what happens in a church, what a church does, and it's been known that way for 2,000 years. For over 2,000 years, that word has been special. And so as I sat with the preaching team that night and listened to a lot of really good ideas all around this subject, I just listened and I typed a little and I listened a little more. And then I asked the team, I said, let me see if I'm getting a good understanding of what we're all saying here. That all ministry is service, but not all service is ministry. That all ministry is service, but not all service is ministry. Is that what we're all getting at? And there was a collective agreement in the group that all of our guts felt the same on the subject, that there's something more to ministry than just service. But what was it? What is it? Let's go and write that down. That's our first note today. All ministry is service, but not all service is ministry. All ministry is service, but not all service is ministry. I mean, to call it service wouldn't be untrue. It's service, absolutely ministry is service, but it's more. It's more for Christians. It's more for God's people. So here's a definition of ministry that I put together for this morning, and that is that ministry is acts towards others done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. So acts towards others done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. Either the service is involved in an activity that reveals God, like preaching God's word, or teaching God's word in Sunday school. That reveals, that's very active in revealing who God is through an act of service. Or the service is used to reveal God through actions, like the prayer quilt. It shows love and care and compassion, those prayer quilts do. And so they share values of God, parts of who God is, his character, his nature, through actions. Or even something as simple as the greeters at the doors every Sunday. They give you a warm welcome, and they bring this these characters of God, and they reveal God through acts of service. You know, when we look at all of the service that Jesus did, he did so with the purpose of revealing God. Jesus's acts of service opened doors for teaching moments. As Jesus healed the man who had been born blind, that turned into a teaching moment with his disciples. As he calmed a life-threatening storm at sea, then he asked a question to stir the growth of his disciples' faith. It was a teaching moment. Or he healed on the Sabbath day and then taught on the heart of the Sabbath versus the letter of the law of the Sabbath. Jesus' acts of service simply communicated value, the value that people have in God's eyes. Like when he knelt down to the lady who had been caught in adultery that was brought to him. And he doesn't condemn her. Where are your accusers? He asked. Or going to eat at Matthew, the tax collector's house, and eating with all of his rowdy tax collecting sinner friends. Or Zacchaeus going to his house, showing value. even if there wasn't something spelled out side by side with a certain account of a certain story in the Gospels that showed us a specific teaching or a specific motive behind Jesus' service, we know that all of the miracles that Jesus performed pointed to God's involvement and presence in his life. As Peter says in Acts chapter 2, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Jesus' service through mighty works, through wonders and signs, those testified about who he was. And testifying about who he was, of course, brought attention to God because Jesus was God, and that revealed God to these people. Knowing that Jesus was who he said he was, of course, supremely important in the message of the gospel. To be able to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you first needed to be able to believe that it was realistic that Jesus could accomplish that. And the only way that could be realistic is if Jesus was God, that if Jesus had credentials given to him from God. And so his mighty works, his wonders, and his signs, they gave him that credibility. All of Jesus' life was used to reveal God to humanity. And so all of his service fell under that umbrella as well. The purpose behind Jesus' service was to reveal God, to be on mission, to talk about his kingdom. Jesus' service was more than just service. It had purpose. And that's what the word ministry means to me. And I believe to the preaching team and to the leadership as we talked about it. It seems that there's an applied definition in the New Testament that service, that ministry is service with a purpose. That ministry is service that is meant to reveal God. That service has motive and intent more than just selfless service. There's a reason to serve. Service is more than just service. It's ministry. And I think that's what our guts were kind of talking to us about, the Holy Spirit in us or simply just our gut feeling on it. Would it matter if we called it a different word? I wouldn't suppose so. Not at all. I mean, there's nothing magical about the word, about using a specific word. I mean, the important part, as I mentioned earlier, is that if we're doing the action of ministry, if we are serving people with the purpose of revealing God to them, sure, there'd be nothing wrong with calling it something different. But this word has held its meaning for centuries. And there's a history attached to this word ministry that is connected to the church and to God's work and to being about Jesus' mission. Yeah. You know, part of me wanted to get up this morning and just say, you know, if the word ministry scares you away from being involved in doing God's work, then shame on you for being so easily derailed. But I typically like to focus on the positive side of communication. So you have the rephrased version of that framed in the reflection of Jesus' life, and that is the definition that I gave you, that ministry, that to define ministry, we would say ministry is acts towards others done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. And I hope that the word ministry then would not intimidate you, but that it would inspire you. That it wouldn't scare you, but it would excite you. That it wouldn't encumber you, but that it would be something that you would be encouraged by. The word ministry. I think we miss out on the joy of ministry because we view ministry as a task or a work that we are to take ownership of instead of a meaning and purpose that we are responsible for. And an owner, responsible for, and an owner that we are responsible to. Let's write that down. Let me say that again. I think we miss out on the joy of ministry because we view ministry as a task or work that we are to take ownership of instead of a meaning and purpose that we were responsible for and an owner that we were responsible to. We're going to talk about the second part of that the owner that we're responsible to a little bit next week. This week, I just want to talk a little bit about ownership versus responsibility. I believe we would all agree this is God's church. This is Christ's church. We're all a part of it. That the church was Jesus' idea, that he is the head of the church, that it is his. I mean, that's even in our name, is it not? I mean, Church of Christ. Miami Town Church of Christ. All of us, we get to be a part of this church because of Jesus. But none of us are owners. Some may be in leadership roles, but that doesn't mean they're owners either. We are all responsible for our part. And responsibility is a much better word to use than ownership. You know, in the corporate world, supervisors and bosses, they want to see employees take ownership of their work tasks. That they'll own the project, that they'll own their team, that they'll own their product, that they'll make decisions, they'll make it happen, and then if it's successful or if it fails, it's on them because they are the owners. And yes, that involves responsibility, no doubt. But there are a lot of things that go along with that are actually unhealthy attitudes to have as we look at church work, church ministry together. So instead of being owners, we are stewards of what God owns. That's a much better way to look at it. We're not owners. We're stewards of what God owns. That we are part of his mission. We're part of his church. We're part of his kingdom. And we don't own any part of that. But we are responsible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, says, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And skipping over to chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure." This treasure, talking about the gospel message, this treasure, the ministry of reconciliation, as he's going to call it in a few more verses, we have this treasure in jars of clay, in just regular people, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. To show that the surpassing power belongs to who? Oh, you can respond. You can respond. Even though this is a recording, we can still respond. So the surpassing power belongs to who? God. And not to who? Us. It belongs to God, not to us. Skipping over or down. Nope, it's over. Over to chapter 5, verse 17. Paul continues. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So he gave the ministry of reconciliation to us. Does that suggest ownership because he gave it to us? Let's continue reading so we can get some context. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God is the one that does the reconciliation. God is the one that does the reconciling. The kind of reconciliation that's between him and any human that results in the gift of eternal life, God's the one that owns that reconciliation. We don't own that. But we're given the responsibility for the message of reconciliation because we've been reconciled. We're given the responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation to take that to other people. That we are an ambassador for Christ. We're not the king. we're not the Lord, which also means we're not the owner. We are simply a representative. We are an ambassador. We are a steward. Now, I want to come back to these passages next week because there's a lot in these passages on the subject of ministry. But this week, I simply wanted to highlight this concept that we are stewards, not owners. And that ministry was given to us by God as something that we are all responsible for. That ministry and our involvement in God's ministry was given to us, those who have been reconciled to Him. And that means that's all of us. All Christians. I think this corporate American view of ownership that's gotten itself into the church has really hurt the church and has become an obstacle with this word ministry. To feel like you own it, if you're going to get into it, to have that feeling, oh no, I'm not good enough to own something in the church. Or the other side, when you have a ministry and you view it as, I own this. Neither of those are good. We'll look at some of that in a minute. Let me compare these two just for a moment. Ownership and responsibility. Ownership is position driven. Who's the owner? Who's in that position? Whereas responsibility is results driven. Ownership feeds the ego. Whereas responsibility creates servants. Ownership just inherently says, this is mine, this is mine. Whereas responsibility says, this is what I'm entrusted with. This is what I'm entrusted. I'm entrusted with something that belongs to God. You can own something too much and you get possessive. You can't be too responsible with something. Ownership will focus on the what. It'll focus on the thing. Whereas responsibility will focus on the why. That motive matters. Ownership sees individual ministries. This ministry, this ministry, this ministry. Whereas responsibility sees how all of the ministries fit and work together because this view understands that we're part of something bigger. We're part of God's ministry. We're part of God's mission. And that is the message and the ministry of reconciliation. And we do that all as one big group. I think we miss out on the joy of ministry because we view ministry as a task or a work that we are to take ownership of instead of a meaning and purpose that we are responsible for and an owner that we are responsible to. So hopefully this will be an eye-opening understanding for some of you and a liberating one at that. That you don't have to take ownership of a ministry here at the church. Even if you're the ministry leader, if you sign up in our ministry fair to be a ministry leader, it's not ownership, it's responsibility. It's stewardship. We have, and this has been something that I think a lot of churches teach, and it's encouraged, and I believe it's been encouraged here for many years. And we have a lot of good, responsible ownership over various ministries here at our church. But it's time to transition. It's time to mature and to transition into this mentality of being responsible but not being an owner. To move away from this corporate American mentality of ownership. And that's going to be a tough transition for some of you who have operated this way for a very long time. And your ministry is your ministry, and you've got ownership of that. And I get it. That's going to be really tough. But we have to focus on what's best for the church as a whole and ultimately for our effectiveness in God's kingdom. hopefully for those of you guys who are on the other side of that, who have not yet become involved or fully involved or fully engaged in ministry here, hopefully that will lift the burden for some of you. That you don't have to own anything, you just have to be responsible with it. And I hope that removes an obstacle and that it gets you excited about engaging, excited about being part of the ministry fair in a few weeks, and excited about being part of growing in God and investing in people as a church together. All of our collective ministries should be thinking of ways that they can interconnect with other ministries to strengthen our efforts to accomplish our mission. And that doesn't happen through ownership. Because your ministry is your ministry. That happens more naturally with responsibility, because responsibility sees the big picture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So Jesus gave leaders to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. Jesus' purpose in giving these roles to the church was so that the saints, now in the South, that would be all y'all, that's all of us, all of you, so that the saints would be equipped for the work of what? You can say it, for the work of what? Of ministry, for the work of ministry. The Greek word there is diakonia. And I butcher pronouncing Greek words, but that's the idea. We'll talk more about that word next week. But that word can be translated as service or as ministry. But the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the New King James Version, which are all our most form literal translations of the Bible, all three of those translate this word as ministry in the understanding of this context. So God gave leadership roles, not ownership roles, purpose-filled roles of leadership positions. Positions in the church that had a purpose, that had a meaning, not ownership. And their purpose was to equip people to be owners of ministries? No. Their purpose was to equip people for the work of ministry. And singular, it's all of us working for the work of ministry all together, not a bunch of individual separately owned ministries, but the ministry. We all work together for one purpose, one goal, together for the purpose of making the church whole, for building the church up, to mature and grow together, not as individual compartments, but as one body. He continues, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We grow up together to be the body of Christ. There's no ownership there. That's all responsibility. He is the head, and we are to match the head. The church should not look like some bobblehead version of Jesus, where the head's all big and the church is all a little wimpy. Our goal is to grow up into this mature man. The English Standard Version translates that as a mature manhood, and that paints this picture that hundreds of years before bobbleheads even existed, that we're told that the goal of the church is not to look like a bobblehead, but to grow up and to fill out in the most masculine form of Christ to match the head. That's what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to grow up so that we look normal with Christ as the head, that we are mature, a mature manhood, according to the English Standard Version, that we mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I believe that one of the reasons why the church has been so weak or so weakened is because we've bought into this corporate American mentality of ownership, and it has compartmentalized churches everywhere. Inside the churches, compartmentalized churches from churches. We don't look at the mission of Christ as one unifying mission, that it's the ministry of Christ. We look at different churches, and they have different missions, and they have different ministries. We look inside individual churches at individual ministries. That's a ministry, that's a ministry, that's a ministry, that's a ministry, that's a ministry. And that's, I believe that comes from this corporate idea of ownership, and that has no room in the church. All of these ministries, they're part of one ministry. They're part of one mission. And that mission, that ministry is God's, and we are responsible to that ministry of reconciliation. We're not owners of it. There's so much room for me and mine in this ownership model. And when we do that, it's so easy to be tossed to and fro by worldly ways and worldly ambitions because we've allowed a worldly concept to govern the church. And we can't let that happen. Here's what it's supposed to look like. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Every part joined together, equipped, working properly in concert with all of the other parts, that results in growing, that results in maturing, being built up in love. Church maturity, church maturity should lead to connectivity of all of those individuals involved in ministries so that we are collectively responsible for the mission of the church, specifically our mission and how we've worded it, growing in God, investing in people, which is just Jesus' mission, love God, love others, growing in God, investing in people. Let's take a few notes on this, and we'll close out. So church, we should be excited about individual involvement in ministry. We should be excited about individual involvement in ministry. You are not called to own anything. Instead, we are responsible for Jesus' vision of a mature church. You are not called to own anything. Instead, we are responsible for Jesus' vision of a mature church. A mature church only happens when we are all ministering together in the individual ways he has called and gifted us to. A mature church only happens when we are all ministering together in the individual ways he has called and gifted us to. The ligaments that connect the body parts is love. I know that sounds strange, but the ligaments, plural, they're all over the body. They hold the body together. But what holds the body together is love. So the ligaments that connect the body parts is love. The corporate America model of ownership doesn't work with the church because the church is an organism, not an organization. We are the body of Christ. We are a body. We are an organism. We are a living building made up of living rocks, as Peter describes it. The church is an organism, not an organization. And that's one of the reasons why this model of ownership doesn't work, because we're not an organization. We operate differently. We're an organism. We're the body of Christ. And our goal is a mature church that correctly matches the head of Christ, not a church full of disjointed ministries that have their own heads. Our goal is a mature church that correctly matches the head of Christ, not a church full of disjointed ministries that have their own heads. this ministry fair, it's an exciting event. We're going to have a great time at it. And I hope and pray that it is going to be a changing event for our church, that it will help us to move forward. We have a little over 50 ministries that we are presenting to you over these three Sundays. David read to you the first third of that, and we have a pamphlet in your bulletins and available at the Information Center. And then next week, we'll have another pamphlet. And the week after that, we'll have another pamphlet. And all of those total 50, a little over 50 ministries that are going to be in the other room for us to sign up for. And all of those ministries, they can and they should work in tandem to grow in God as a church and to invest in people as a church. We don't want to build and create a bunch of individual ministries. The goal is not to add more individual ministries that are individually owned with individual agendas and individual priorities. That's not the goal. We want to see these ministries grow and mature because they grow and they mature all together into a body that looks like Christ, because that's biblical. That's what we should be doing. That we work toward our purpose as Miami Town Church of Christ, that all of these ministries work and they fit together to work under the mission statement, to grow in God and to invest in people, that work with the parameters that we have set up, biblical parameters and our core values here. So we can see the church mature. We can take this next step. All ministry is service, but not all service is ministry. Ministry acts, they're acts towards others that are done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. We miss that purpose when we focus on ownership instead of responsibility. And when we miss that purpose, we miss out on the joy of ministry. We miss out on the excitement of being responsible Christians, responsible people who have been reconciled to God as part of Jesus' vision for a mature church, growing together where all the parts join together in love, ministering together because we are responsible stewards of Jesus' mission, not our agendas, not individual owners of our own ministries, but that we join together as one church with one ministry. And we're focused on being responsible. And if we do that, church, I believe that that will help us to accomplish Jesus' goal for our church, for the church, that we would grow up into a mature church that correctly matches the head of Christ. I have a lot more to share on that subject next week, but we'll get there next week. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have shared with us in your word. Father, I pray this is a very difficult concept because it does go against some ways that we have maybe operated in the past. But I believe all of this is correct to how you have set up your church. And so I pray that you would help us to transition away from ownership and into an attitude of responsibility, that you'd help us to see what that means and how advantageous that can be for our effectiveness in your kingdom. Father, I ask that you humble our hearts, that you help us to look at your word with open eyes, but more importantly, with open hearts. Father, that we would be receptive to this understanding, that we would get rid of anything that would keep us from being the church that you would want us to be. That we would get rid of anything that would keep us disjointed, and that we would accept an attitude or a point of view that would help us to be more connected, more joined together in love. Help us and lead us. Father, I ask that you would bless our ministry fair here in a few weeks, that you would start putting passions and desires on people's hearts, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to them, that you would be making them aware of gifts that you have given to them for specific use here, as we all desire to be responsible to serve in your mission, singular, and in your son's ministry, as we serve together. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.